In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance conversation this morning, and it's great to be with you at all, as always. On this feast day, solemnity of St. Peter and St. Paul, great to be with you. So as we start off our conversation, we'd like to always invite to be with us Mary Most Holy. Mary is the Mother of God. Mary is the Mother of the Church. And Mary is the Mother of each and every one of us. Also, we call out to Mary as our life, our sweetness, and our hope in that beautiful prayer, which is the Hail Holy Queen. So let's turn to Mary and ask Mary to pray for us and to pray with us as we enter into our family conversation, as we talk about the solemnity of St. Peter and St. Paul today. So let's pray the prayer that Mary loves most, and that prayer is the Hail Mary, together. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now let's turn to our spiritual director. Our spiritual director is the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit has many different titles, among which would be he's known as the Paraclete. He's also known as the Gift of Gifts in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. He's also known as the Sweet Guest of the Soul from the Sequence. He's also known as our Consoler in the midst of our desolation. He's also known as our Counselor, giving us proper advice. Also, the Holy Spirit is known as our interior master. St. Paul says, we don't know how to pray as we ought. But good news, the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans so that we can say, Abba. Abba, which means daddy or father. Therefore, let us call upon the Holy Spirit to give us a lot of light. Humbly beg for a lot of light, a lot of peace, a lot of joy, and the interior fire that descended upon the apostles on Pentecost to set our hearts on fire. So let's pray the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. And thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady of Fatima, pray for us. St. Joseph, pray for us. St. Michael the Archangel, pray for us. St. Gabriel, pray for us. St. Raphael, pray for us. St. Peter, pray for us. St. Paul, pray for us. St. Ignatius Loyola, pray for us. St. Maria, Faustina Kowalska. Pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. The family that prays together stays together. So we always start off our conversation by praying to Mary, praying to the Holy Spirit, praying to the angels, and praying to the saints. Because indeed we're part of that family also. It's called the Mystical Body of Christ. We're part of the Church Militant, and they're part of the Church Triumphant. So my friends, as always, I will place you on the altar today in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. And today we celebrate St. Peter and St. Paul. That'll be our topic today. But we'll place you on the altar and beg for special graces. And as I've been praying the past couple weeks, I'd like to reiterate that intention. We could pray that all of us would be docile. We would be docile and open to the Holy Spirit in our lives. In a word, our sanctification. Our sanctification depends very much upon us being open to the gifts of the Holy Spirit and open to the inspirations of the Holy Spirit. So that'll be my first intention that we would be able to put into practice today. If you hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as at Meribah and Massa. My next intention, I like to pray for your children. Your children, your teenagers, that in these weeks of vacation that they would utilize their time well. Time is never meant to be wasted. We're always called to utilize, to employ our time in a way that's pleasing to God. May they get enough rest, physical activity, good solid reading, but also maybe your children can come to daily Mass. Bring them to daily Mass so that they can listen to the Word of God and receive the Eucharist, of course, being well disposed. Then my next intention would be the following. Once again, I'd like to pray for the pro-life movement and cause. We're so very thankful for the overturning of Roe v. Wade last Friday on the feast day of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. But this does not mean that our work is over. Quite the contrary. As Karen Carpenter used to sing that beautiful song, "We've Only Just Begun." We've only just begun. So true. We've only just begun. But that was a huge monumental victory for our country, making a worldwide statement that abortion is wrong. Abortion is wrong. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to pray in a special way for those who promote abortion. Because as a result of this Supreme Court decision, sad to say, there's a lot of people that have hatred in their hearts. Whoever is cultivating hatred in their hearts, Jesus says in the letter of St. John, how can we say we love God if we hate our brother? Those who hate their brother, God does not live within them. And this will cause them irreparable damage. They'll become depressed, angry, bitter, caustic, sarcastic, mean-spirited, I think we should pray for them. Pray for them that one day they will be able to see the light of truth. That they will be able to see with great clarity. See with great clarity that God wants us to support life. From the very moment of conception until natural death, our life is sacred because our life is a gift from God. So there we have it, my friends. I'll be placing you and your loved ones on the altar and this wonderful solemnity of the Apostles Saint Peter and Saint Paul. So I'd like to start off with a graphic image that can help you out. In my formation, I lived about 6.5 years, close to 7 years, in the city of Rome, where I did my studies in preparation for ordination of the priesthood. I studied at the Angelicum, which is the Pontifical University of Thomas Aquinas, where the Dominicans taught. And of course, the most famous church in the world is the Basilica of St. Peter in the Vatican City. It's a city in and of itself with its own post office. The Basilica of St. Peter is by far the biggest. And if you've ever been in Rome, maybe you noticed this. As you're entering into the front door of the Basilica of St. Peter and St. Peter, there are two majestic statues. One on the left, one on the right. As you're entering, you're about to enter into the Basilica of St. Peter. One statue has a key. A big key. The other one has a sword. The statue that has the key is St. Peter. Because Jesus himself said to St. Peter, Peter, I give you the... He says, you are Petra, rock. And I give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And then we have, and that is the profession of faith in Caesarea Philippi, which would be the gospel for today, Matthew 16. Later on, Jesus, after he's risen from the dead, he'll be taking a walk with Peter on the shore of Lake Galilee. And Jesus will ask Peter, Peter, do you love me more than these? Peter will say, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Feed my lambs. Second time, yes, Lord, you know they love me. Feed my sheep. He asks him a third time, Peter, do you love me? That hurt. And he says, feed my lambs. So what Jesus is doing in Caesarea Philippi, Matthew chapter 16, and then John chapter 21, Jesus is empowering Peter with the responsibility to be his successor. Jesus, before he went up into heaven, we can read this in Matthew chapter 28. He says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go out to all nations and teach them all I taught you. baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And he says, behold, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Then our Lord ascends, passes through the clouds, where he sits at the right hand of God the Father. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. We pray in the creed, our profession of faith. So, that one statue, we're talking about the statues that are there at the entrance of the Basilica of St. Peter with the key that symbolizes Peter. Now, the other statue that you see as you're entering into the Basilica is a statue of a man that has this big sword. And that's St. Paul. Why is it that he's got a sword? Well, basically for two reasons. The first is that St. Paul was a great preacher of the Word of God. He preached especially to the Gentiles, so that belief in Christ was not simply limited to the Jews, but to the Gentiles, to the whole world. Thanks be to God. Thanks to the person of Saul, who would be converted into the great apostle St. Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles. Is the sword symbolic of the Word of God? Paul goes on to point out, the Word of God is like a two-edged sword. It's a two-edged sword that separates bones from marrow. Separating bones from marrow. But another interpretation of the sword is the means by which St. Paul would die. That he would be beheaded. If you have the time today, you might even view the movie Apostle St. Paul, which came out about 6 years ago. And this movie, The Apostle St. Paul, you have Jim Caviezel who acts as St. Luke. And most of the movie shows St. Paul, as well as the early Christians and the Christians who are suffering under Nero. In the catacombs, you see Priscilla and Aquila. The end of the movie, you see St. Paul. He's in prison, arrest in the Mamertine, and he's taken and he is beheaded by the sword. So that's an introduction to our conversation. Entering the Basilica of St. Peter, You walk in between the two statues of St. Peter and St. Paul. St. Peter and St. Paul. The two pillars of the church. Also there, in the Basilica of St. Peter, beneath the major altar, you have the remains of St. Peter, the bones of St. Peter. Also, you have the remains of Pope John Paul II. So since Jesus, there are 266 popes from the beginning, Peter up to Pope Francis. So my friends, St. Peter and St. Paul. Let's talk about the call of St. Peter, and then we can talk about the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. Let's do a meditation. I'm going to be giving you a lot of biblical verses, but try to utilize the method that I've given you over the past couple of years. The biblical meditation. Lets you to read. To read, to memorize the basic content, Then general understanding, what's the general meaning? General meaning. And then personal meaning, what does it say to me? What does it say to me? Then personal application, how can I apply this to myself? How can I apply this to myself? So let's take the person of Simon Peter. So let's start with John chapter 1. John chapter 1, my friends, we start out with a prologue. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. To his own he came, but he was not received. But to those who receive him, he's given them the power to be sons of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Beautiful, beautiful verses in what is called the prologue of St. John. After that, after the prologue of St. John, we have Jesus calling the first disciples, among which would be St. Peter. But this is how it happened. This is how it happened. And pray for the grace to apply the Word of God to your own life. We're praying that the Word of God would not be something simply historical, something of the historical past, but rather the Word of God is active like a two-edged sword that separates bone from marrow, as we said, St. Paul says in one of his writings. The Word of God is active and efficacious. So the super apostles were first, some of them were being formed by St. John the Baptist. St. John the Baptist. St. John the Baptist that was preparing the way for the Lord. So, John the Baptist is standing with two of them, Andrew and John, and Jesus is walking. And John the Baptist points him out and he says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." So, what happens is those two apostles, John and Andrew, they get up and they follow Jesus. He turns around and says, "What are you looking for? Rabbi, where do you live?" He says, "Come and see." They spend the whole afternoon with Jesus. Jesus is inviting you to be with him right now. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he loves you. He's your best friend. I repeat, Jesus loves you. He's your best friend. He's your best friend. He's inviting you. As he invited Andrew and John, he invites you right now on this feast day of Peter and Paul. Then Andrew and John, they were so impressed by that encounter with Christ, that afternoon that they spent with him, they're so impressed that they couldn't keep it to themselves. So what happens is Andrew, who is a brother of Simon Peter, he seeks out his brother and says, "Come, we have found the Messiah, come and see." So Andrew brings Simon Peter to the Lord. Lord says, "You are Peter, and upon you I will build my church. You will be called no longer Simon, but Peter," which means rock. So we see in this, my friends, that faith is transmitted often by word of mouth. Let's see if we can apply this, that biblical passage, to ourselves. angel invited his brother Peter to get to know the Lord. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. The biggest religious group, the biggest religious group in our country is the group of non-practicing Catholics. The biggest group in the Philippines, non-practicing Catholics. The biggest group in Mexico, non-practicing Catholics. The biggest group in all of Europe, non-practicing Catholics. So as Andrew invited Peter to get to know Jesus, all of you probably know there's a person in your mind right now. There's a person you have in your mind, a relative or a friend or an associate that has walked away from the church. Invite him back to the church. Invite him back to the church so that he can experience the loving friendship of Christ. Invite him back. By inviting, my friends, you've got nothing to lose but everything to gain. I repeat, you've got nothing to lose, but you've got everything to gain. If you want words of encouragement, read the last three verses of James, James chapter 5. He who brings back a wandering soul to Christ saves his soul and expiates a multitude of sins. Wow. Our salvation and less time in purgatory. Not bad. So in your life, work at trying to bring the lost sheep back to Christ. The prodigal sons and daughters, you might say. Bring them back. The prodigal sons and daughters, bring them back to the fold. Try to do that. Bring them back to the fold. Bring them back to the fold. All right. I'd like to move on now to another verse, another biblical verse related to the call of Saint Peter. Even though there in John chapter 1, Jesus calls Peter to follow him, he encounters Peter. But Peter is still exercising his profession as a fisherman. His following of Christ is not total as of yet. It's not total as of yet. This, my friends, would be the definitive moment. Luke chapter 5. That's right, Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. What is that? Well, Jesus is preaching on the shore of Galilee. The apostles have come in after fishing all night. Jesus gets in the boat of Peter and he's preaching from the boat. And Peter is sitting beside Christ as he hears him preach. After Jesus finishes preaching, Jesus tells Peter, "Ducan altum, go into the deep." So, Peter goes into the deep. He drops his net. And he catches so many fish that he has to make a sign to his companions to help him out. And the nets were at the point of actually breaking, tearing. There were so many. Peter arrives on shore. And then he drags the net filled with fish, falls at the feet of Jesus on his knees and says, "Lord, leave me, for I am a sinful man." Jesus says, "Do not be afraid, because now you'll become fishers of men." Then Peter, James, John, and Andrew, they leave their fish, they leave their nets, they leave their profession, they leave their associates, they leave everything to follow Christ, so that they can be fishers of men. Let's apply it to ourselves. The boat and the nets and the fish. What are for you, what would be for you an apostolic tool that you can utilize to drop the nets and to catch fish? I repeat the question. What are apostolic tools that you can use to drop the nets and to catch an abundant catch of fish? Okay, in my case, for example, right now, I am preaching the Word of God to many people by means of the internet, by means of Facebook and YouTube. Many are following. Later on, we'll tune in to the archives and they will be following my presentation. Now, see how God allows evil to bring greater good out of evil. 3.5 years ago, I would have never imagined in a million years that I would be preaching the Word of God also to other countries by means of the screen, by means of the electronics media. God allows evil to bring good out of it. So this is one way in which I am trying to preach the Word of God. Just 2 days ago, I was in the Church of St. Therese in Alhambra. I mentioned this a couple of days ago. And I ended up by consecrating probably close to 200 people to our Lord through Mary and the Most Holy Rosary. Those are ways in which the Word of God can be preached to all. When I'm giving this talk now on Facebook, at the same time, I am recording this. Right now I have in my pocket, you see this little instrument, it's called a digital recorder. So that those are maybe taking a walk in the park, they can download this talk, and with the earphones they can take a walk and listen to this talk at the same time. See, my friends, these are ways in which we can preach the Word of God today. These are the nets These are the nets that we are called to use in the modern digital electronic world in which we live. That's right. So we should utilize modern technology to preach the Word of God, my friends. Modern technology. Utilize modern technology, my friends. So let's move on. You're tuning in to my Perseverance Family Conversation with Father Broom. Today we are talking about the feast day we celebrate today. It's a solemnity, and it's that of Saints Peter and Paul. And I'm giving you some biblical resources. All right. So, John chapter 1, Jesus calls the apostles and Jesus meets Andrew and John, and Andrew presents Peter to Jesus. Luke chapter 5 is the miraculous catch of fish, and then Peter drags the net to the shore and falls at the feet of Jesus and says, "Lord, leave me because I'm a sinful man." Jesus says, "Do not be afraid, because now you'll be fishers of men." Okay, the next verse I'd like to highlight is the gospel for today. Matthew chapter 16, 13 to 19. Jesus is traveling with his disciples in the region of Caesarea Philippi. And he asks the apostles, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" There are various opinions, various theological opinions. Some say that Jesus is John the Baptist. Other that he's Elijah. Other that he's Jeremiah. Other that he's one of the prophets of old that has returned. So what you have, and I think it's very indicative of what's happening today, there's just a lot of ideas, a lot of confusion, a lot of erroneous ideas, actually. But Jesus is none of those people. He might have some qualities of these great prophets, but Jesus goes way beyond any of these prophets of the Old Testament. So their opinions were wrong. Then Jesus asked them, "Well, who do you say that I am?" So it's Peter that speaks up. And Peter says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus, aware of Peter being enlightened by the Holy Spirit, he says, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to me, but my Father in heaven. Therefore you are Peter, Petra, rock, and upon you I will build my church, and the gates of heaven shall not prevail against you. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Here we see Peter being given by Christ what is called the primacy. The primacy. That Jesus will not leave us as orphans. He'll not leave us as orphans. For that reason, Matthew chapter 28, when Jesus is ascending into heaven, he says, I will be with you always until the end of the world. How is he with us? He's with us with his church, which with the church leaders. He's with us also having sent his spirit. Having sent his spirit. Now, later on, this primacy of Peter will be reaffirmed. And they made an allusion to it earlier. This is Matthew chapter 16. If you're taking notes. Then John chapter 21. This is the context. That the apostles have been fishing all night, caught nothing. There's a man on the shore early that morning. He tells them to drop their nets. They drop their nets and they catch, once again, a huge number of fish. And John says, it's the Lord. Peter throws himself under the water, swims to the shore. And Jesus is preparing for the apostles' breakfast. Now, after they finish having their breakfast, Jesus pulls Peter apart, and he's going to be taking a walk with him. And he's going to be asking Peter, Peter, do you love me more than these? Lord, you know all things. You know that I love. Feed my lambs. He asked him a second time, Peter, do you really love me? Yes, Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. Feed my lambs. Then he asked him a third time, Peter, do you love me? And that hurt. Because he asked him a third time. Feed my sheep. When you were young, you used to gird yourself and get up and go wherever you want. But when you're older, you'll be taken against your will. Indicating the means by which Peter would glorify the Lord. Peter turns behind and he sees John and says, what about him? Jesus says, follow me. Follow me. There's much more that can be said about Peter. But I'd like to jump to the very end of the life of Peter, and then we'll talk a little bit about Paul. At the end of the life of Peter, and you can watch the movie I mentioned. Watch the movie. It's called Paul the Apostle. This will give you the whole idea of the early Christian church. But the end of the life of St. Peter and Paul is that both can end up in the city of Rome. And both of them, both Peter and Paul will end up in the city of Rome, and they'll both end up by dying as martyrs. In different ways. In the case of Peter, he's living in a time where there's a violent persecution. This you can see in the movie of St. Paul. Because they're living at the same time in Rome at the end of their lives. So Peter is leaving Rome during the violent persecution of Nero. Nero would throw the Christians to the lions, sometimes even light the Christians on fire as human torches. So Peter is leaving Rome. He's on what's called the Via Appia. But on his way outside of Rome, he has an encounter. He encounters Christ. Now this time Christ is carrying the cross. He's carrying the cross. And Peter, this is a very famous legend. Peter says to the Lord, Domine quo vadis. Lord, where are you going? Jesus says, I'm returning to Rome to be crucified again. I'm returning to Rome to be crucified again. Peter fully understood the message. He fully understood the message because he understood that it was now his turn to show his love for Christ. So he returns to Rome. And there, where you have the Basilica of St. Peter, according to tradition, Peter, like Christ, was crucified. But according to tradition, Peter was crucified upside down. Why? Peter himself did not feel as if he were worthy to die in the same manner that Christ died. So Peter was crucified upside down. And now in the Basilica of St. Peter, beneath the major altar are the remains, the bones of St. Peter. And I had the privilege of being ordained by John Paul II and I was ordained in the Basilica of St. Peter with John Paul II ordaining me beneath that major altar where I celebrated my first Mass. Where I celebrated my first Mass, below that altar are the bones, the remains of St. Peter. The bones, the remains of St. Peter. What a great privilege that was for me. So let's change gears now for a few minutes. We're talking about the pillars, Peter and Paul. We've talked about Peter. What about Paul? My friends, of all the conversions in the history of the world, without a doubt, the conversion of Saul of Tarsus is probably the most famous, which you can find in the book Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8 and 9. Saul of Tarsus was violently persecuting the early Christians. So much so that the proto-martyr, the first martyr, St. Stephen, who was stoned to death, who was present at the stoning of St. Stephen, is Saul of Tarsus. Once again, you can see this in the movie of Paul the Apostle. There's flashbacks in the life of Paul later on where he sees Stephen being stoned to death and the blood that Stephen actually shed. for love of Christ. Saul of Tarsus, who was heading toward Damascus with the intention of arresting Christians and throwing them in jail, he encounters Christ. Different than Peter did. Peter through angel. Saul of Tarsus was a much more dramatic encounter. And what had happened? As in this, he's on the way toward Damascus with his companions. There's a bright light that shines in the sky and he hears a voice. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he cascades to the ground. Who are you, Lord? And he said, I'm Jesus of Nazareth who you're persecuting. Go into Damascus and I'll tell you what you're supposed to do. He gets up and he's totally blind. He's led by the hand by his companions. He goes into the home of an earlier follower. And Ananias has a vision to go and to meet Saul of Tarsus. And that's what he does. Ananias first objects, and then Jesus says, he's an instrument that I've chosen. I will tell him all that he'll have to suffer for my name. So Ananias visits Saul, places his hands on the head of Saul, scales fall from his eyes. Saul of Tarsus is baptized, and he becomes one of the most zealous, ardent, enthusiastic followers of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. A great example for all of us. Now, Peter was essentially went to the Jews to bring the good news to the Jews. It was not all-inclusive, but especially Peter focused more on the Jews. Saul, who became Paul, did preach to the Jews, but at times they would reject him. So he shakes his sandals and says, I will go to the Gentiles. And that's what Saul of Tarsus, who becomes the great apostle St. Paul, will do. He goes to preach the word of God to the Gentiles, to the non-Jews. And as a result of that, you have in the New Testament, after the Gospels, the most prolific writer is Paul. He's writing these letters to the communities that he's established, to the Romans, to the Corinthians, to the Galatians, to the Ephesians, to the Colossians. These are letters that St. Paul writes to the communities that he's established, giving them advice, encouraging, and sometimes even correcting them. That's right. Now, we mentioned the way that Peter died. What about Paul? Paul, being a Roman citizen, could not be crucified. But Paul was decapitated. And according to tradition, when he was decapitated, his head bounced once, twice, and three times. You got the Traitrout Tavernae, where water gushed forth from the ground where his head bounced with so much force, according to tradition. So what is the message today? The message first is this. In honor of St. Paul, we as followers of Christ should read and meditate and understand and try to put into practice the Word of God. That's the first message. In honor of this great preacher and teacher and writer, we have to get to know Christ by reading and meditating upon the Gospel, the Bible, the New Testament. That is our light. That is our guide. That is the source of truth. Next. At 12 noon today, we as oblates will be concelebrating the Mass at 12 noon. The oblate priests. It'll be a concelebrated Mass in which part of our constitutions as oblates, this is a day in which we renew by a solemn public profession of faith our faithfulness to the Church, our faithfulness to the teaching of the Vicar of Christ. That is the rock foundation of the charism of the Oblate to the Virgin Mary. To be faithful sons of Holy Mother Church. The teachings, the dogmatic moral teachings of the Vicar of Christ, the Holy Father. So I invite all of you, if you can, to go to Mass today. To go to Mass today in honor of St. Peter and St. Paul. Renew your faithfulness, my friends, to love for the Word of God in honor of St. Paul. But your faithfulness to Christ, to His Vicar, the Magisterian, and the teaching office of the Holy Catholic Church. May Mary help us, because she indeed is the Mother of the Church. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.